Hey, Church on the Ridge, it's so great to have you this Easter weekend. What a joy it is to be with you and celebrate the Christ who is alive. I got to thank those of you who did the chalk art, you boys and girls and families that did chalk art all around the neighborhoods of different cities. It was so cool to see them as I'm walking my dog, I'm walking with Sandy, my wife, and I really appreciate it. If you came here today, because of the chalk art, will you let us know? Maybe down on the side, a little thing there. Just go ahead and it won't distract me to go ahead and talk and let the folks know that you came because of the chalk art. Drop me a note. I'd love to have you. You know, I'm Charlie. I mentioned that. And my wife is Sandy. I've got three kids. And my wife is a director at Overlake Hospital. And boy, they've been going through it with this whole COVID thing. Really appreciate those of our medical personnel and support staff, the whole thing. I also appreciate people in the grocery stores. Man, I just want to get out of my house, go to the grocery store so I can see somebody and just smile. And it's been great. And so if you've been working to keep the rest of us fed and supplied, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, this whole being sheltered in place is a challenge and having to wear masks and do the different stuff. I found some of these things you might appreciate. Check this out. Darth Vader says, wear a mask. Doesn't visit his son or daughter, socially, emotionally distant, follows orders. Check this one out. Corona Beer changes their name to avoid association with the coronavirus outbreak. Okay, how about this one? Feeling guilty about your kids watching too much TV, right? Just mute it and put the subtitles on. Boom, now they're reading. I love that. All right, how about this one here? When the Navy works from home. Hey, I'm an Air Force guy, so if you're Navy, sorry. I like this one too. Okay, maybe I don't like that one. Okay, there we go. Had not planned on giving up quite this much for Lent. And maybe that's you. You know, as this is Easter, we celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus. This guy who actually predicted his own death, predicted how he was going to die, predicted how long he was going to stay dead, when he was going to come back to life. It's crazy. He was buried 3 days later. He rises from the dead. Sounds like a fairy tale. But the truth of this has been questioned over and over and over again by skeptics, by scholars. It's been proven over and over again by eyewitness accounts. Those who seriously research it come to the same conclusion. The evidence is real. The history is accurate. But man, it's hard to believe. And if you want to challenge it, go ahead. Go ahead. It's been challenged by a lot of people. But don't just write it off and say, oh, it's not true. It's a fairy tale. You know, don't say you know unless you've done the homework. And if you'd like to do the homework, I can give you a lot of material on it and help you out. But I think you'll come to the same conclusion that's been written now for thousands of years, that Jesus truly is alive. 2,000 years ago, he came out of that grave on that wonderful Sunday morning. He walked on this planet for about 40 days and freaking people out. That's the guy they crucified. Whoa, we saw him die. And it was crazy. And then he floats up to heaven, called the Ascension. And since that time, he has changed the world. 2.3 billion people today will be celebrating Easter and acknowledging that Jesus truly is alive. They love what he's done in their life. They love watching him live and what he stands for, his teachings. You know, his teachings have gone in every language possible. If there's a book that's written, the Bible has been written in that language. It's crazy. One of the most famous teachings that he has is the story of the Good Samaritan. Maybe you've heard that story. There's RV parks all around the U.S. called the Good Sam, right? RV park. If you've been part of Church on the Ridge, we've been going through this for the last number of weeks, and this is our last weekend on the Good Samaritan. Next week, we start a new series called the Lego series. We'd love for you to join us because it's all about being connected in a time of being disconnected. And we're going to help you. I don't know if you ever walked in the middle of the night and you stepped on a Lego and went, oh, kids, don't they pick up their toys, right? Or if you've gotten a brand new Lego for your son or your daughter. And you sit down, you get all the pieces out, and you begin to put it together. It's like 500 pieces. You go, man, and you're trying to follow it. And then you finally get it done. And you go, wow, this looks cool. And there's something wonderful that happens in the relational connection when you're able to work alongside somebody else. We're going to talk about that. How do we have great connection in a time of social disconnectedness? So I hope you'll join us because it can be a pain or it can be something that's really beautiful. The story of the Good Samaritan is a story of connection. And the story starts by a guy asking Jesus a question. He says, hey, what do I got to do to live? You know, what a great question to ask a good guy who you can't keep in the grave. What do I have to do to live? And Jesus answers it with a question. He says, well, you have a Bible. What's the Bible say? Maybe you own a Bible. You're watching me today. You own a Bible. And, you know, have you read it? What does it say to you? Well, this guy has read his Bible, and he says, well, it says to love God with all of your heart, be passionate for God, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And he says, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus responds to him, you're right. You're right. Love God, love your neighbor. Good answer. And then he says, do this, right? Do this. And he says, and you will live. You know, Jesus was not complicated. A lot of people try to make Jesus complicated, or they try to make the Bible, oh man, it's so hard, argue about it, and all kinds of people fighting about, you know, different nuances and stuff. He goes, no, love God, love your neighbor, do this, and you'll live. Well, this guy thought about it for a minute. He says, you know, I love God. I love my neighbor. So wanting to justify himself, he asks a qualifying question. He says, well, okay, Jesus, who is my neighbor? Jesus responds, let me read it to you. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him. They left him half dead by the side of the road. In the words of the infamous Miracle Max, right? Turns out your friend here is only mostly dead. See, mostly dead is still slightly alive. Well, okay. Any princess bride? Okay. By chance, a priest comes along, sees this guy laying there, mostly dead. He's a pastor. When he saw him, he actually crosses by on the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant, all right, church member, right? Good guy goes to church, walked over and looked at him lying there. So he goes over and he sees him. He goes, whoa, social distancing, 6 feet. This guy's probably got, you know, corona. I'm out. And he passes by on the other side. Then look at this, a despised Samaritan. I want you to circle that word. Remember that word. It came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged him up. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. And the next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If the bill runs higher than this, when I come back, I'll pay you what I owe you. Now, which of these friends, which of these people was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked the guy. And the man replies, well, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus says, you're right. Yes. Now, go and do the same. Underline that. Go and do the same. Let's think about that. Jesus, you want me to go and do the same to a guy I don't know, probably has the virus. You want me to get out of my car, get dirty, get his blood all over me, take him to the hospital and not just say, okay, we're done, right? Maybe you do that, take him to the hospital and we're done, but then pay the bill and then come back later and make sure that all the bill was paid. And not only that, but to a guy who despises me. You see, the Jewish people and the Samaritan people did not get along at all. That was a cultural disconnect for sure. And let me ask you a question. You ever had someone look at you and say, I despise you? Well, that was being said all the time between the Jews and the Samaritans. I hate you. I wouldn't pull you out of a ditch if you were laying there half dead. And I certainly wouldn't pay your bill. I don't know. Jesus says, go and do the same. Go and do the same. What about somebody that you despise? Say, well, I don't despise anybody. I love everybody. Yeah. What about the boss who fired you? Right? Inappropriately. What about the husband who left you? What about the wife who took custody of your children? How about the business partner who, you know, robbed you and ruined your business? How about the guy who just cut you off on the road? You know, you got to travel, and right now it's easy. If you're commuting, you're loving life, right? But what about when it's crazy and you got to get to work and that same guy every time? How about just the neighbor whose dog poops in your yard, won't clean it up? How about the pastor who judged you and your family and kicked your family out of church? You know, would you do it for them? For that guy you despise? Cover their mortgage, cover their expenses, make sure that they're well cared for and paid for. You know, only a special person would love like that. I wonder if Jesus is referring to himself in this story. Begin to think about it as I read the story. I wonder if Jesus is talking about himself. You know, on Good Friday, Jesus is crucified. He's brought before his own people. And they hold him up. Pilate has him on trial. And the people begin to shout, "We despise him. Crucify, crucify, crucify." And here Jesus. You know, if this is really a story about Jesus, Good Samaritan is Jesus. I mean, there's a couple things I notice here. Number one, he's not into religion. Did you notice that? He paints the pastor and the church guy in a pretty bad light. You know, what he is saying is you're not going to find a lot of help from organized religion. Just because someone has a title, reverend, pastor, you know, church member, it doesn't mean they're going to heaven. Remember, Jesus said, if you're going to live, you got to love God, be passionate about God, and love you. Do the same with the guy in the ditch. And there's a lot of dead religion out there. Jesus is not in religion. Number two, Jesus is despised. 700 years. I told you that Jesus predicted his own death. Well, other people predicted his death as well. 700 years before Jesus goes to the cross, a guy named Isaiah, one of the most famous passages in the Old Testament that point to the Christ and his death and life, Isaiah 53. It says he was despised, there it is, and rejected, speaking of Jesus, by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom we hid our face. You ever seen the Passion of the Christ movie? They come to that scene where they're beating him. Man, I have got to close my eyes. I got to turn my head. I cannot watch. I can hear the whips in my head and I can see it in my mind. And I'm just, but still, it says, from when we hid our face, he was despised. And we held him in low esteem. Wow, that despise is a long, strong word, isn't it? Despised. He wasn't into religion. He was despised. And he carries us to safety, pays for our foolishness, our sin. You know, it was foolish for that guy to walk from Jerusalem to Jericho alone. If you go with us to Israel, we'll take you there and you'll see with your own eyes that it's a deserted place. And it's still a dangerous place. There are places for people to hide. It's really easy. You can see how these bandits were hiding out, ready to attack. It would be like your eye going to Iran, going to downtown Tehran and carrying an American flag. Hey, God bless America, right? Iranians, many of them have been taught to despise Americans. You're going to get hurt. You're just being foolish. They say, hey, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk from Jerusalem to Jericho. What, by yourself? Yeah, oh, yeah, I'll be fine. Are you serious? Yeah, I'll be fine. No, you're an idiot. I can't tell you how many times I've been an idiot. You know, there are things that we do. If we cheat on our spouse, if we cuss out our kids, we steal from our employer, we shade the truth. Do you know what's going to happen? We're going to get hurt. It's dumb. It's foolish. The Bible calls it sin. Each of us, by our own foolishness, have been stripped of our dignity. We've been beaten by our shame. We leave our relationships half dead or mostly dead, all the while ignoring Jesus, despising him. Yet he comes down from heaven. He gets off his donkey. He picks us up and he carries us. And he pays the bill on the cross. That Isaiah guy, he wrote this. He said, surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Catch that? He carried us. Yet we considered him stricken by God, struck down and afflicted. but he was pierced for our transgressions. That's our foolishness. He was crushed for our iniquities. That's our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. That's him paying the bill. And by his stripes, we are healed. He carries us to the end to bring us healing. You know, Easter proves that we may despise God, but God does not despise us. The more I read the story, the more I see Jesus as the Good Samaritan. And you know, this is not a new concept in the Bible. All throughout the Bible, you see God doing the same, doing for others what you and I probably wouldn't do. The people of Israel were stuck in Egypt as slaves. You know, you remember the story, Moses and, you know, Charlton Heston, he parts the Red Sea and he takes them out of Egypt and the plagues, the whole thing. And he takes them through the wilderness and then finally into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And there's a famous verse that has this great, great little line in it. It's found in Deuteronomy 1, verse 31. It says, going through the wilderness, there you saw how the Lord carried you. Look at this. As a father carries his son all the way until we reach that place of peace, that place of safety, that place of healing, that place of rest, the promised land. The Good Samaritan, God, carries us like a father carries a child. Let me ask you, when does a father carry a child? Well, when they're first born, you know, I remember all three of my kids and I'm holding them. I just want to hold them. I just want to carry them around. And you have to, right? They're babies. There are times when I just want to hold them. If they're a little older, I just want them to hold them. I just want to embrace. I just want to hold you. How about when you want to celebrate? You want to put them on your shoulder. They can't see the parade. So you put them on and say, yay, you know, carry them around. Yay. How about when they're tired, too tired to walk? Daddy, I'm too tired. I'm too tired. Daddy, no, I can't walk anymore. My legs, they won't care. So you pick them up and you carry them. How about when they're feeling sick or disabled? I remember my daughter when she had her first grand mal seizure. She was about 7 years old. And I remember picking her up and carrying her. I held her in my lap all the way to the hospital and carried her into the hospital room. It's a challenging time. You know, let's be honest. Sometimes life can be a wilderness. Sometimes life can beat you up, can rob you, can leave you in a lot of pain, and feeling alone, feeling half dead. And here Jesus comes along at just the right time, full of compassion. And as a father carries a child, he picks us up and he brings us to safety and he pays the bill. And you may find yourself in a wilderness. Maybe you're sick, you're afraid, you're wounded, you're lonely. You may feel broken and beat up, abandoned by others. Maybe you're just simply wandering around in life, not knowing where you're going. Maybe you're unable to go on. It's then the Father reaches down. He wants to pick you up and carry you like a child, bring healing to you. You ever had a child that didn't want to be held? They want to be carried, try to pick them up, and they're just squirming like it is almost impossible. Trust me, you know, if you haven't had the experience, it's impossible. Today could be your day where you stop squirming, where you let God hold you close. You may be asking the question, well, how does God carry us, right? How does that work? Jesus rose from the dead on Easter. He walked around for 40 days. The ascension, he went up to heaven. So where is he now? He must be socially distancing himself from us. I don't see him. You know, we're under these rules, social distancing. Is that even a thing, social distancing? Who came up with that? Who coined that term? I don't even get it. You can be physically distant. You can be socially disconnected. But how do you, you know what social distancing is? You know what it is? It just simply means you're alone. You know, I have been socially distant from people that I've been 6 inches from in my own home. And there have been times when my wife and I have been socially distant and we're standing 6 inches apart, not 6 feet apart. I remember when my youngest was 17 years old and he lived in our home and still in high school and we were socially distant. We weren't talking. We weren't connecting. Easter, Jesus makes some wild promises. I'll carry you as a father carries a child. And he's not talking about through FaceTime or Zoom or Teams meeting. No, he's got something way better. The Bible talks about, this is very, very important concept in the Bible, being physically distant, but spiritually connected. physically distant, but spiritually connected. Have you ever had the experience where you could feel somebody in the room that you feel like feel their presence and they're not there? And maybe they're around the world or something, but you just feel like they're right there. People talk about God that way all the time. Man, I just feel him. Man, I just know God's with me. There's a spiritual connection that takes place and it's real. And too many people have had it. Too many books have been written about it. It's not just an aberration. It's a thing. Physical distance, spiritual connection. I had a near-death experience flying a hang glider down in Southern California many, many years ago. Sandy and I were dating at the time. We weren't even engaged. And I find myself, after I crash land this thing in the hospital, I'm in a coma. And at about 2 a.m, the Spirit of God goes into the room where Sandy's at. She doesn't even know I'm in the hospital. Wakes her up and says, hey, pray for Charlie. She doesn't even know what she's praying for. And in that moment, the Spirit of God reaches down into my room. And touches me, and I get up at it. Within the hour, I'm out of that hospital. The doctors are amazed. My dad is amazed. I'm amazed. You know, God knew that there was something more for my life, that he wanted to connect with me, and that through the distance to get me here to this place so that I could be sharing with you this weekend, that the purpose of my life was not simply to die wandering in the desert, that God had something greater for me. And you know what? You're watching this not by accident today. God may seem physically distant, but he is spiritually calling you to his side. Let me tell you how this works. You've heard that God is three persons, right? Maybe the Trinity. You've heard that term, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus said, look, when I ascend to heaven, and in 40 days, we're going to celebrate the ascension. When I ascend to heaven, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. In fact, he says this. He says, if you love me, you'll do as I command. And what did he say? Well, it's simple. Love me. Do the same for others. Go and do the same. Love your neighbor. Then I will ask the Father and he will send you the Holy Spirit who will help you. And look at this. Always be with you. Spiritually connected. The most famous psalm in all the Bible. Probably everybody has heard it. Psalm, the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. There's a line in there that says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Huh. I don't see him. Oh. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He is with us. How do you stay physically distant and spiritually connected? By God's Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is the Spirit that God wants to put inside of you to raise your life from the dead, to raise you out of that ditch, out of your sin, out of your foolishness, to give you life and a purpose, to take you to the promised land, to take you to your destiny. There's one other time that a father carries a child. It's if the child passes away. You know, when you and I close our eyes for the last time, there's a Heavenly Father who wants to tenderly carry us to his home. That same Psalm 23 says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My life will one day end, but where am I going to spend the rest of my eternity? Will you dwell in the house of the Lord? Where will you live after this life is over? Jesus spent 3 days in the grave, physically disconnected, spiritually quarantined. Why was that? Because there can be no sin in heaven, and Jesus took our sin, our infirmities, our iniquities, all those things. Sin and heaven don't mix. If there can be sin in heaven, then it's not heaven. And here Jesus is diseased and despised on that cross, not because of COVID, but because he took our sin. The crazy thing about the Easter story is, if Jesus is a good Samaritan, we crucified him. We're the ones who wandered down that road from Jerusalem to Jericho in our foolishness, and then we put him on the cross. That same guy, Isaiah, wrote this. He said, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way. We're doing our own thing. I don't care. I'm better than this. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In order for God to carry you, you have to acknowledge his son, the Good Samaritan. You have to go and do the same. Receive him. Accept Jesus. Don't despise him. Can you imagine the gratitude of that guy that was there left half dead? He wakes up and his expenses are paid. He's got bandages on him. He's been taken the best care of. He finds the guy and says, man, thank you, thank you, thank you. Wait a minute, I'm a Jew. You're a Samaritan. Why did you do that? And the Samaritan responds, because I love people. I love God with all my heart and I love people. I want to go and do the same. And all people, not just people of my color, my race, my ethnicity. No, all people. And there was no one else who could help you. See, you were physically distant and spiritually disconnected. And I wanted to save your life so that you could live out the destiny that my Father has for you. You were never intended to die in a ditch on the side of the road. You were intended to live for something more. What would you think of a guy who received that kind of grace and then despised it? Despised the one who gave him the grace, who wouldn't go and do the same. You think, Mal, you must really hate that guy who saved your life, not even to acknowledge his existence, show him appropriate gratitude. Today, you can be like the little child who allows the father to hold him, or you can be like the one who squirms out, and it can be another Easter that goes by. Are you going to receive him today? I'd like to ask Pastor Kevin to come and pray for us. I want to thank you for joining us, and I hope to see you next weekend at our Lego series. Pastor Kevin, you pray for us on this wonderful Easter and then lead us, brother.
Absolutely. Thank you. As I was listening to that talk, I realized there's really two call to actions. The first one is we're spiritually disconnected and we're distant from God. Maybe we're the ones in the ditch. Or you've known God and for whatever reason, you've drifted away. We can fix that today. We can pray. We can make that commitment and connect with the Lord again. And then the second call to action is to do the same. Go and do the same. To love somebody, to get off our donkeys, to serve and to invest into somebody, even somebody that we may despise. And so let's pray together. Father, I thank you for today and for this message. And Lord, what it means that we can have a relationship with you, that Easter means we can have a relationship with you. And Lord, I want to pray for every single person who feels disconnected to you, that this morning we would make a commitment and say, Lord, I believe in you. I want to be in relationship with you. Lord, forgive me for being away from you. Help me to restore that relationship, either for the first time, maybe for the 10th time. And Lord, we also want to pray for those in our lives that we need to go and do the same, that we need to get off our donkeys and serve and love and invest into. And so Lord, reveal those people to us. Who are those people that we can be you to, that we can be your hands and feet to and serve? And then help us and go. Give us the courage and the boldness to do that. Pray us in your name. Amen. Some of you prayed that prayer for the very first time. You made that commitment and we want to know about that. We want to encourage you. We want to come alongside you and connect with you and fill out your connection card and let us know that you made that decision, or let one of our virtual hosts know that you made that decision. And as we move into next week, this new series on Legos and connecting, that's something our church does really well, is connecting with one another. Some of you who've also made that decision, you're going to enter into this time of communion a little bit differently. We're going to remember what Jesus did with a different sense of awe. And so no matter who you are, we're going to invite you to the table. We're going to invite you to remember communion, remember what Jesus did for us. And earlier this week, I had the opportunity to lead my family through communion. And now I have the honor to lead you through communion.